First reading today, we hear from the prophet Isaiah the words that the Lord has called me from the womb. We can certainly see that in somebody like St. John the Baptist, where there were these obvious points where he was called. But we also have to be able to recognize the exact same thing is said of you and me. God knew us from all eternity, and he chose to create us. And from our mother's womb, he has called us to whatever purpose is going to give him the greatest glory. We even hear that basically when we hear that the neighbors and kinsmen heard that the Lord had magnified his mercy toward Elizabeth, and they rejoiced with her. God has magnified his mercy toward you as well. The question is simply, what is he asking? In our humanness, we fall into this little trap of envy and jealousy toward those who have certain positions. We really, really stupidly fall into it when we think of people like movie stars and we envy them. It's like, I don't know why anybody in their right mind would ever envy somebody like that, but regardless, that's what we do. Or we envy billionaires. Give me a break. They build prisons for themselves because they have billions of dollars. And think about it. Anybody who's going to build a 20-foot wall around their house, what'd they do? They just built themselves a prison. Granted, it's to keep everybody else out instead of to keep them in, but it works the same way. Why would you be envious of that? Because they have tons of money? Who cares? What's really most important? The soul. What is most important is what God has called each one of us to. And the thing that I would point out as you look throughout the scriptures, there is not one example that I can think of that God has called somebody to greatness that came from a hotshot. The only one you might be able to suggest is Solomon, because David had become quite wealthy by that point. And then look at what Solomon did, became the biggest idiot that ever walked the face of the earth. And so, yeah, the rest of them, they were ordinary people. Their parents were ordinary people. You might say, yeah, but Zechariah was a priest. Yep, he was, and just an ordinary one. He wasn't the high priest. He wasn't a wealthy man. He was an ordinary working man. His job was to be a priest. And it's from him and his wife, who was barren, that God called John the Baptist. Now, if there's anybody who still wants to be envious and think, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have a position like that? Look at what these people have to go through. If God calls you to something, it's because, well, it's not because, in order to do it, you're going to have to suffer a lot. I don't know very many people today who really want to go out into the desert near the Dead Sea, wear camel's hair, and eat grasshoppers. I don't know, maybe that sounds pretty exciting to you. I don't know most people who would think that that sounds pretty fun. And that was just John the Baptist. Look at what Our Lady had to endure. Look at what our Blessed Lord had to endure. Look at what the prophets had to endure. Would it be a great privilege to be able to be the forerunner of the Lord? Absolutely. Want to line up to get your head chopped off? Yeah, most of us probably aren't going to raise our hand and say, yep, count me in for that. I'd love to be thrown in prison, get my head chopped off. No, we're probably not going to sign up real quickly. But again, what we need to recognize in all of these things, yes, the suffering that is there for each of these people. Again, as I mentioned, they come from ordinary parents. We don't have millionaires. They didn't have movie stars back then, but even if they did, none of them came from any of those kinds of people. And none of them became any of those kinds of people. The greatest people that have ever walked the face of the earth are usually without money, without position, without accolades, and yet we are holding them up to this day as the greatest. And they are. Look at our Blessed Lady. Look at St. John the Baptist. Look at the apostles. Look at the prophets. They are among the greatest human beings ever to have walked the face of this earth. They were hidden. They were poor. They were rejected. They suffered. Or, as St. Paul put it so beautifully in his letter to the Hebrews, the world was not worthy of them. Isn't it amazing that if we saw somebody like a John the Baptist, we would probably sneer. We would say, he's not worthy of the world. The Holy Spirit said the world is not worthy of them. We know. I mean, let's just admit it. We know that if there was somebody who just six blocks down the way, right down by the Mississippi River, was running around wearing camel skin, I guess we don't have camels around here, but wearing a bear skin thing, whatever, eating grasshoppers, we would call the authorities and they would take him to a psych ward. Because we're so advanced, we know better. We would throw him in a psych ward because this guy is insane. Jesus said he is the greatest man born of woman. Boy, do we have it wrong. Are we messed up or what? Because we want greatness, because we want money, because we want stuff, because we want all this other stuff. That's not what any of these people were about. They wanted to do God's will. That's where their focus was. They weren't interested in all that other stuff. They just did the will of God. And God tested them. And they had to rise to those tests. But even when we see the extraordinary events that occurred around St. John the Baptist's birth, even the name that is given, and they're all marveling, and it's like, wait, nobody in your family has a name like this. Why are you doing this? Because it means God is gracious. That was his purpose. He is there to bring people to repentance, to recognize that God isn't interested in trying to condemn anybody. God is gracious. God is merciful. God wants our repentance, not our condemnation. And so right from the beginning, we see how this was going to work with him. And yet he had to be tested. He had to be purified. More than likely, he never committed a mortal sin in his entire life, and still he needed to be purified. Because he was conceived with original sin. He was born without it. But he was conceived with it. So he had the same weaknesses that you and I do. Ours is removed with baptism. His was removed in the womb. But he still had the effects of it. And so all the struggles, imagine the rejection that somebody like him would have had to deal with throughout his life. All of a sudden he becomes Mr. Popular, and all these people, even from Jerusalem, are walking 20 miles down to the Dead Sea to be able to listen to him. But it was because of everything he had already endured, he didn't become puffed up with pride and say, oh, look, everybody's coming to listen to me. Because it wasn't about him. He preached the word of God. He pointed beyond himself to the Lord. Now we can look at ourselves. Most of us here, I would think, are born of ordinary stock. But God has called you from the womb, and he has purified you in various ways. Maybe there's still more purification to go. But as you look at your own life, you can ask yourself, what's the focus? Is the focus about the will of God? The focus about money? Is the focus about materialism? And even there, where's the real focus? Is it God or is it me? For most of us in the society in which we live, it's all about the self. So we see then, number one, that we need to be very, very grateful if God isn't calling you to be one of these great ones. Because that means an awful lot of suffering. It means a lot of purification to be able to get all that selfishness out of the way. We all have to get that selfishness out of the way. Remember, St. Teresa tells us that the amount of purification depends not only upon the sins that we've committed that need to be purified, but it also is dependent upon the degree of holiness to which God is calling us, and it also has to do with the number of people who our lives are going to affect. St. John the Baptist continues to affect people to this day. Imagine the suffering he endured, because it wasn't just a little group of people that he was going to affect. It is billions of people for 2,000 years now. The same is true of the prophets. Same, obviously, with our Blessed Lady, and more so, obviously, with our Blessed Lord, with the apostles, with the saints. You look at the holiness to which God called them, you look at the number of people that they're affecting, even to this day, and you recognize why they had to suffer the way that they did. When you look at it that way, maybe it'll just help us to be grateful that not only did we come from ordinary stock, but God is just calling us to ordinary holiness. He's calling you to great holiness, but maybe just in an ordinary way. Whatever his will is, obviously, if he's calling you to greatness, he's going to give you the grace to be able to do it. So just all that matters is doing his will. You can't be looking at anybody else. Can't be getting jealous or envious because this person has this or that. Just be grateful for whatever it is that God has given to you, for whatever it is that he has called you to, because from your mother's womb, God has called you. This isn't something that he's just looking at you today and going, you know what, maybe I think we should have this person do this or that. No, he called you from before you were born. So if you're not sure what it is that he's asking, go to prayer. Let him lead. Don't get in the way. Don't step out in front. Look at John the Baptist. He just had to go out into the desert, eat grasshoppers and honey until God told him it was time. He knew that he was called. He knew pretty much what it was he was supposed to do, but he had to wait until the time was right. So don't get out in front of the Lord. Don't tell him what it is you're supposed to do. Ask him and wait. And when it's time, he will let you know. In the meantime, strive in your daily life to do his will, whatever that is in your life. And it is in that way, as you grow in holiness, as you do his will, that's the way that you are going to become the saint that he has called you to be.